Good morning. It's December the 28th, 2025, in the year of our Lord, and the title for my message is Weeping and Wailing at Christmas Time. My first passage of reading comes from Isaiah chapter 63, only two verses, 7, 8, and 9. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, children who will be true to me. So he became their Savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And our New Testament reading comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. For Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Weeping and wailing at Christmas time. Sometimes it's human nature to wonder if the stories we read on Christmas Eve are real, and not just fanciful stories written to inspire children and the naive, when the gospel writers describe angels and shepherds marveling at a baby lying in a manger in the tiny village of Bethlehem with Joseph and Mary. Who doesn't like a feel-good story filled with light and warmth where we sing candlelight, silent night? Or maybe we can take in a children's Christmas Eve pageant or watch on television It's a Wonderful Life, about George Bailey and Clarence earning his angel's wings. But reality comes rushing back when we read today's gospel lesson with the barbarity and evil in the massacre of the innocents. Whether turning on cable news or thumbing through the pages of history, we are reminded that real life is indeed filled with horror and sadness, such as Auschwitz, Nanking, Cambodia, Bosnia, Hiroshima, Rwanda, and Khartoum, Gettysburg, Pearl Harbor, and of course, 9/11. And let me not forget the Trail of Tears. We must remember that the birth of Christ took place in a world where tyrants and megalomaniacs thought nothing of it to murder and massacre innocent people, all so that they could retain and keep their power. From Herod the Great in the New Testament to Alexander the Great in his travels afar, to Julius Caesar, to Attila the Hun, who was called the Scourge of God, to Genghis Khan, to Napoleon Bonaparte, and Suleiman the Magnificent in the Ottoman Empire. Some, if not many of us, come to Christmas with some measure of sadness because the people we love, the people we have grown up with, the people that who have created wonderful, beautiful, deep memories are gone. Or maybe for others, there is that distinct possibility that it might be your or someone close to you last Christmas as well. Some of us are now worrying about the financial well-being, knowing full well that money is tight and those credit card bills are sky high and they will be coming in the new year. Maybe there are people you know, or you are one of them, where the scripture rings true. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. When we are going through a lot and experiencing pain, turmoil, doubt, much less uncertainty, what a source and strength it is to know and experience firsthand that God loves us enough to join us in the world and to share in our pain and suffering. It isn't surprising how helpful it is for support groups to be instrumental for people to recover and revive themselves, knowing that others understand and can help them. Correspondingly, living in a broken and hurtful world, what a sense of joy and relief to know that God forgives our sins. We need that truth. We cannot live in this world without being a part of its brokenness. The very things that cause so much pain and suffering, we need to know that we can be forgiven so that we can keep on living. There was a movie that came out in the '80s called The Mission. And Robert De Niro played a character by the name of Rodrigo Mendoza, a mercenary and a slave trader in the 18th century in South America. And in this movie, he is a violent man, and he profits from the misery of others. And in the course of his lifetime, he has become hardened by the power he has accrued and by his own guilt. But then in the movie, something happens that breaks him. Out of fit of rage and jealousy, and lack of control, he kills his own brother. Overcome with shame, Mendoza plunges into despair. He joins a group of Jesuit missionaries who take him on a grueling journey into the very heart of the jungle, to the tribe he once enslaved. And here's where it becomes unforgettable. As a sign and show of penance, Mendoza drags behind him a massive net filled with weapons and armor, the tools and representation of his old life. And he carries and drags this net up a mountain, through rivers, across rocky terrain. It's heavy, it's slow, it's humiliating, and you can see on his face he believes he deserves to carry this burden. Finally, the group reaches the tribe. One of the tribal men, who should have every reason to hate Mendoza, walks up to him and cuts the rope. The burden tumbles down the cliff and into the river below. And then you see this beautiful scene where Rodrigo Mendoza weeps. He weeps and cries for the first time since the death of his brother. He's free, not just physically, but spiritually. And that is a beautiful picture of God's forgiveness. You know, we come to Him dragging our sins, our shame, our past. We believe we have to carry it forever, that somehow it will make things right if we carry it. But when we meet Jesus, He steps forward and cuts the rope. Isaiah 1, verse 18 says the following, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." That's not because we've earned it. It's because grace is greater than guilt. In this world and in our lives, we will see and meet people who cause us suffering, pain, and great hostility. But there are also people who embody and show us God's glorious saving work as well. And I would say to everyone who's listening to this message, look for them, and when you find them, embrace them. Whether they are expressing sympathy to your situation or to your loss, when they keep on loving you despite your resistance and repeated failures. The very people some of you admire for overcoming great obstacles and barriers may be God's agents to keep you going on, showing that it is possible. You know, another Christmas has come and gone, but its message and its brilliance continues to shine because, as we all know, the world has far too many tyrants in it. Think about the sun for a moment. It rises every single day. It shines on the just and the unjust, the grateful and the oblivious. It gives warmth, light, and life wherever you notice it or not. But sometimes, clouds will roll in, and you wake up to gray skies. You can't really feel the sun's heat. You don't see the rays shining through the clouds. Maybe, if the storm is strong enough, it feels like the sun is gone. But of course it isn't. It's still there. It's still burning brightly. It's still giving light, still holding the solar system together. The clouds don't stop the sun. They just block your view. And isn't that exactly how God's love is? You go through the storms of life. You face discouragement. You wrestle with guilt or grief. And in those moments, it can feel like God is distant and far away. Like maybe his love was temporary or conditional. But feelings do not change facts. Romans 8:39 says that nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not even our own doubt. God's love doesn't flicker like a candle in the wind. It blazes like the sun. And even if you can't feel it, even if the clouds of your circumstances block your view, his love has not moved or changed. He is still shining, still sustaining, still loving you right now. God came to Joseph and Mary in dreams in the night, through angels from above and by shepherds keeping watch over their flocks. God heard Rachel weeping for her children. God has heard the mothers and fathers of the babies slaughtered by Herod the Great crying out in great anger and disbelief. God hears you and I in our pain and in our moments of fear and sadness and tears. God cares enough about this that his son came into our world and took on flesh and blood to stand side by side with us, to make life possible even when life brings us wailing and weeping. Amen.